I invite you to take God's Word and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 2. There's one verse in particular to which I want to draw your attention tonight. I was actually going to preach this sermon on the first Sunday morning of this year. And as I was flying to Mobile, there was a thick fog that settled in over Mobile. And as I was flying through Charlotte, North Carolina, my flight was canceled and I was unable to fly here and to preach that Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning of this year. In fact, when I landed, I only had 1 hour to go to my home and exchange suitcases and to pick up my other suitcase, head back to the airport, and to fly to South Africa. So I've been wanting to bring this message to you for these last several months, and it seems that this evening is a very appropriate time for me to bring this message to you. I want to begin by reading the verse. As you know, we will be excavating its riches and be looking at it very carefully, but I want to set it before you. The title of this message is simply Good Works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Unfortunately, the subject of good works on the part of many Christians these days has fallen on tough times. Speak of good works in the Christian life, and you often hear cries of legalism or performance treadmill. Speaking on good works with many today gives the appearance of being anti-grace and opposed to grace, that we would ever emphasize the place and the necessity of good works in the Christian life. But the fact is, performing good works in the Christian life is absolutely necessary for Christ-likeness. In fact, I would go so far as to say, no good works, no Christ-likeness in one's life. Jesus Himself was a tireless worker. In fact, He is referred to in Isaiah 42, verse 1, as the servant of the Lord. Jesus said, I've come not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. There was a work that the Father had assigned to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it was so important to Him to do this work day by day here upon this earth that it was His necessary food for His soul. It was that which brought Him satisfaction as well as strength to be doing the work and the will of God. And Jesus said in John 5, 36, the works which the Father has given me to accomplish. Not only has Jesus accomplished the works that the Father gave Him to do, but there are good works for each and every one of us who are followers of Christ. In fact, Jesus said there's a sense of urgency about our fulfilling these good works. Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can work. Jesus understood that there is but a brief period of time. He likened it unto day, and the day is setting, and night is approaching. And there is a brief moment in our lives for us to do the work and the will of God. And Jesus said, we must be about performing these good works. As Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, we read in verse 4, as He expresses to the Father, I have accomplished the work that You have given me to do. As He came to the end of His life, there was a sense of satisfaction that He had been a faithful son to his father and had carried out the task and the duty that was laid on him by the father, and that he would bring glory to the father by accomplishing these works. And upon the cross, when Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." The work of redemption and the work of the atonement was finished as Jesus, in his death upon the cross, fulfilled the work of salvation on our behalf that God had assigned to Christ. Jesus had earlier told his disciples that there is a work that I have for you to accomplish as well. In Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We bring glory to God the Father when we perform good works here upon this earth, and we dishonor and defame our Father when we are sluggards and slackers in fulfilling the work that He has for us to do. And this stressing of good works in the Christian life was critical for Paul to emphasize to the Ephesians, because in the previous two verses, he has taught that salvation is apart from any good works. You'll note in verses 8 and 9, this signature text that speaks of the pure grace of God by which salvation comes to us, you will note that it is not the result of works that we are saved. Verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace," that means the free gift of God, "for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." The Apostle Paul has stated in no uncertain terms that salvation is by grace through faith and not as a result of works. No amount of good works can contribute even one thin dime to our standing before God with full acceptance. But does this mean that there is no place for good works in the Christian life? Are we just to sit back and do nothing in the Christian life? The answer, of course, is that God has a great purpose and a great plan for everyone whom He saves. And as long as we are upon this earth, there is a work that God has for us to do that is unique to each and every one of us. And we bring glory to God by rolling up our sleeves and being engaged and involved in the work that He has assigned for each one of His sons and daughters to accomplish. So tonight, as we look at verse 10, I want you to note three things about God's work. I want you to note God's work in us, then God's work for us, and then God's work through us. Verse 10 begins stressing God's work in us. Notice how verse 10 begins. "For we are His workmanship." That clearly implies and states that God must do a work within us. Long before we can ever work for Him, He must do a work in us. Look at the verse. He says, "For we," the "we" refers to all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The "we" refers to those who in verse 8 have acted in saving faith in Christ and Christ alone. He says, "We are," present tense, "His workmanship." Now, this word workmanship is a very important word, and I want to talk about it in just a moment. But suffice to say, at this moment, what we need to understand is that all who are true children of God, that God has done a divine work within them, And this work is the new birth. It points back to the time when we were birthed into the kingdom of God, and it was a sovereign, saving work of grace. This is the greatest work that God ever performs. It is the work of being born into the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul writes, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come." In this work of regeneration, God recreates us into the image of Jesus Christ. God creates new life within us, and we become His workmanship and become a new person in Christ. This is not a work that you and I can accomplish. This is a work that only God can do. And it is a work that God must do in us, or we shall never see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "Except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God." Now this word workmanship, do you see it in verse 10? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." It's a very picturesque word. And it loses something in the translation from the original Greek with which Paul wrote it, as it comes to into our English language. I'm going to pronounce the Greek word, and you will hear an English word in this Greek word. It is the word poema. You can hear the English word poem. It is as though he is saying, we are his poem, created in Christ Jesus. Now, by that, what he means specifically is that we are a masterpiece. We are a work of art, if you will. We are his workmanship, just like a skilled poet would take a piece of paper and take ordinary words and craft sentences and stanzas, and the result of which is a beautiful literary masterpiece. That is the word that Paul uses here. It is the word that would describe a gifted artist who would take a piece of canvas or the backside of a board and take various paints and paint something onto that board or canvas, and the result would be an astonishing masterpiece. Something of enormous beauty and value and worth. That is the word that Paul uses here. And this is precisely what God has done in our lives in the new birth. Never did an artist take such hideous pieces of canvas and create such a workmanship, as did our God in the new birth. What did he have to work with? Well, look at verse 1 and 2 and 3, and you will see what God had to work with. And these describe everyone's life here tonight, whether in your past or in your present. In verse 1, he says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Everyone born into this world is born in a state of spiritual death. There is no spiritual life within them. And he says in verse 2, "in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." This world refers to this evil world system, this world order that is opposed to God, opposed to the things of God, opposed to the values of God, opposed to the Son of God, that is opposed to the truth of God. He says that we all formerly walked according to the course of this world, and this world was on a path headed to hell and to eternal destruction. He then says, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Every unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ is a child of the devil, is a child of darkness, and is held captive by Satan, blinded by Satan, and going according to the course of this world. And verse 3, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That means children deserving wrath, children under wrath, even as the rest. That is what material, raw material, God had to work with us. It was us who were spiritually dead and defiled and devilish and disobedient and soon to be damned. These are those who in verse 10 he writes, "For we are his workmanship." Never has a piece of art undergone such a dramatic transformation as the work of grace that God has performed in our lives. Charles Haddon Spurgeon has written, "You have seen a painter with his palette on his finger, and he has ugly little dabs of paint on the palette. What can he do with those spots of paint? Go in and see the picture. What splendid painting! In an even wiser way does Jesus act towards us. He takes us poor smudges of paint, and he makes the blessed pictures of his grace out of us. It is neither the brush nor the paint he uses, but it is the skill of his own hand which does it all." I want to ask you, has God ever done this work of grace inside your spiritually dead soul? Has God ever performed a work of grace inside your defiled, disobedient heart? Has God come to you and done a work that only He can do, a work with which we contribute nothing, but that we are the object of His saving work in our lives? Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." This creation refers not to our physical creation, but to our spiritual recreation. This verb, created, looks to the past, to that time, again, of our new birth, when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. When he says that we've been created in Christ Jesus, he is saying that salvation is entirely of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of Christ Jesus. There is not one drop of saving grace. There is no forgiveness. There is no pardon for sin outside of Christ. If we are to be saved, we must be created in Christ Jesus. It is a grace that began in eternity past when He chose us in Christ and He predestined us in Christ. It is a work that was accomplished upon the cross as Jesus died in our place to purchase our salvation. It is a work entirely of God's grace. And when we are created in Christ Jesus, we become new creatures. We receive a new mind. We receive a new heart. We receive a new will. We become someone in reality on the inside other than what we once were. Our old life is dead. We are dead to our old way of life. We are now alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the one who has made us alive. Can you say with assurance that you have been born again from above? Can you look to your past and point to that time in your life when you became God's workmanship, when you were created in Christ Jesus? It was all a work of God in Christ. And it has nothing to do with our contribution whatsoever. This is where it all begins. God's work in us. God must work in us in order for there to be salvation in us. But I want you to note, second, God's work for us. After God's work in us, then there is God's work for us. Notice the next three words. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Note the preposition, the adjective, and the noun. For good works. You see, here is the highest goal and loftiest purpose of being made God's workmanship. He has created us in Christ Jesus in order to accomplish good works. Now, let us be perfectly clear. We are not saved by our good works. No one can save themselves by their own good works any more than they could flap their arms and fly to the moon in their own efforts and in their own strength. No, we are saved. Note the prepositions, verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8 says, we are saved by grace through faith. Verse 10, for good works. We are not saved by good works. Nothing could be more clear. We are saved by grace through faith for good works. In other words, the inevitable outcome and result of being made at a point in time God's new creation is that there are good works for us now to accomplish. We do not perform these good works, again, I want to say, in order to be saved. We perform these good works because we have already been saved. Now, there are some key words that I want to draw to your attention. I want to talk about the word works. I want to talk about the word good. And I want to talk about the word prepared beforehand. We are saved for good works which God prepared beforehand. Let's start with the word works. We are saved for good works. Now, this word work or works comes from a Greek word in the original language. And you'll hear an English word in this Greek word as I pronounce this Greek word. It is the word ergon. If you listen carefully, you can hear energy, energized, energetic in this word for works. These works, in other words, are energizing. They come at great effort on our part. They involve a great expenditure of energy. They involve sweat and perspiration and straining ourselves and pushing ourselves. Again, not in order to be saved, but because we have been saved, these works require great sacrifice and great commitment. These are not little works that are easy to perform. These works cost us something. They require something of us. In fact, these works are so great, they can only be accomplished in the power which God provides. Now, please note that they are in the plural. For good works, plural. It speaks of a body of works. It speaks of a large number of works. Not little isolated works that ever so often that we would accomplish. It really speaks of a lifestyle, an ongoing pattern, a pursuit of working hard for the Lord. And by the way, this is a part of being made in the image of God. This is a part of God uniquely making us in His image. God is a working God. And there is a work that God has for us to do. There is a dignity about all work. And we glorify and honor God. We are like God when we work. So the first key word is the word works. And I want to underscore, there are works that God has for you and for me to perform upon this earth. We are saved in order to accomplish these good works. Now, the second word is the word good. Note, he says, for good works, not just any works. There is a designation to these works. It's not just go out and do something. It is to do the work that God has assigned us to do by the Father. And this word good, as opposed to bad, there are a lot of bad works that people do that promote the cause of Satan. But good works refer to those works that are profitable and useful for the kingdom of God. This word good, agathos, means beneficial, benevolent, helpful. These are works that are wholesome and pure and holy in the sight of God. These are works that promote the one true saving gospel of Jesus Christ. These are works that reach out and serve others. These are works that magnify the name of God here upon the earth. And these works are absolutely essential. In fact, James 2, verse 14 and following says that if we have no works, we have no real faith. That all true saving faith is always accompanied and produces good works. James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. True saving faith is always accompanied by good works. The new birth is the root. Good works is the fruit. In Titus 2, verse 13, we read, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And no text could be more clear concerning the deity of Jesus Christ, the full deity of Christ, and His Saviorhood, and no one could save us but God in human flesh. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, listen to this, zealous for good works. Are you saved? Then you must be zealous for good works, on fire, fervent, full of energy to be performing good works. And even Jesus' death upon the cross was to facilitate these good works for us to accomplish. In Titus 2, verse 7, he says, in all things show yourself an example of good deeds. Without good deeds in your life, you are a bad example to other people. It is only with good works are we actually a good example to others. In Titus 3 and verse 8, Paul says, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to speak to the people of God, and I want you to be confident when you say this. You must tell them that if you have believed in God, you must be careful to do good deeds and good works. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul tells us that God has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. There is a work of service that God has for every believer in the body of Christ. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, Paul says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and ready to share. We are to be very rich in our spiritual lives in doing good deeds. And this, in part, is the result of the death of Christ upon the cross. There's a third word that I want you to note in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Not only the word works, and not only the word good, but the word prepared, which God prepared beforehand. Which God prepared ahead of time. This is one word in the original language, and it could be translated this way, for good works which God foreordained, which God preordained, which God predestined. A.T. Roberts translates it, make ready beforehand. The only other time we see this word used in the New Testament is in Romans 9 and verse 23, in which Paul writes that there are vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand for glory. When we combine these verses, we come to the simple conclusion that all vessels of mercy whom the Lord has prepared beforehand for glory, God has also prepared and foreordained good works for each of them, each of us, to walk in. So here in Ephesians 2, verse 10, this clearly means that God has preordained good works for us to do, works prepared before time began. Let me say it again, but God is always previous in our lives. He has already gone into the future before us, and He did it from all eternity past. And it was from before the foundation of the world that He predetermined specific individual good works for us to perform. There really is a sense of destiny about our lives every day that God has already gone before us. He has already written the script for tomorrow. And God, with His sovereign hand, has already recorded good works for you and me to accomplish that will glorify Him and will extend His kingdom here upon the earth. And in this, God has taken into account every contingency and every circumstance in our lives. And God has foreordained everything that is necessary, that must come to pass in order for us to perform His good works. So we must not miss out on anything of what God has purposed for us to do here upon the earth. Think about this for your life. That from before the foundation of the world, God prepared good works for you to accomplish, and they are uniquely designed for you. They are works that will be a part of your bringing glory and honor to the Father. This is God's work for us. Before I move on, I want to remind each one of us that if God has done a work in you, then God has a work for you. And you must not and you cannot do God's work for you until He first does a work in you. He must first work by His grace in your life, and when you have become His workmanship, the completed work of grace, only then can we fulfill His work that He has for us. Now, finally, I want you to note at the end of verse 10, God's work through us. We have spoken of His work in us. That's the miracle of regeneration. We have spoken of His work for us, that which He has prescripted from all eternity past. I want you to note God's work through us. He concludes this verse by saying, so that we would walk in them. In other words, we can't just sit back and go, oh, God has predestined a work for me to do. I will just let God work that out. No. We must take initiative. We must take steps of faith. We must be active. We must walk in these good works. That's what He says. Note, so that. Here is the purpose for which God has saved us. Here is the purpose for which He has made us to be His workmanship. So that we, the word we refers to all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no exceptions. So that we would walk in them. The word walk here speaks of our involvement. It speaks of our engagement. In fact, the rest of the book of Ephesians will talk about that we are to walk in humility. We are to walk no longer as the Gentiles. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in wisdom. Here Paul underscores that we must walk in good works. We are not saved to sit. We are not saved to stagnate. We are not saved to be a spectator. We are saved to serve Him. And the word them so that we would walk in them. The word them refers back to the good works which God has prepared beforehand. In other words, we must take initiative by His enabling grace to step forward and to step out in serving the Lord. As God works through us, we must take decisive steps to move out and walk in them. We must know what this work is that God has for us to do, and it is found in pages of Scripture. It is there by the commandments that He has given. It is there by the examples of godly lives recorded in Scripture. It is there by timeless principles that are found in Scripture. It is there by the wisdom and the discernment that He gives to us through the study of His Word. It is there through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ as we are to walk as He walked, 1 John 2, verse 6. And so we must know what the work is that God has for us to do, and then we must step out and walk in these good works. God will not do this without us. God will only do this through us. So we must be active in our service for Him. So what is the place of good works in the Christian's life? It is abundantly clear that we are saved by grace through faith, not as a result of works, for good works. Our good works will not take us to heaven, but our good works will follow us to heaven. Our good works in no way contribute to our salvation. Our good works are the inevitable overflow and result of our salvation. In fact, one way that we can know that we are truly saved is that there is now a new desire and a new heart for God that desires to bring honor and glory to His name by performing these good works. As you look at your life tonight, first, can you say that you are His workmanship? Have you been created in Christ Jesus? Have you been born again from above? Has God given to you a new heart? Has He removed your heart of stone? And has He given you a heart of flesh? Has God acted and worked within you? The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Has this ever happened in your life? No one will ever enter the kingdom of God apart from God's saving work in the new birth. Do you see that God has prepared good works for you to walk in? Do you understand that God has marked out your future? For all those whom He chose for Himself in eternity past, He has also chosen a path of good works by which we serve the Lord and we bring honor and glory to His name. Have you come to see that you must step out by faith and every day walk in these good works? That there is a limited amount of time that we have to do these good works. That it is day and night is coming when no man can work. But while it is day, we must do the works that the Lord has for us. What work does God have for you to do in serving Him? What is it that He has prescribed and foreordained for you to do? Even if you're a young person and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you find yourself in school, there is a work of serving the Lord that God has for you. And for those on the other end of the spectrum who have retired from their profession and who have retired from your place of employment, we never retire from working for the Lord. There is a work that He has for us to do as long as we have life and breath within us. We may rightly assume as long as we are living on this earth, God has us alive so that we can finish what work remains for us to do. And that when we die, there is no more work left for us to do. We should feel some sense of urgency about this. We should say with Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We should say with Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 15, that we must redeem the time, for the days are evil. We must be faithful stewards of the time that we have that remains. We must do the work that He has for us while it is still day. The work that I want to leave you with is the work that Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. As Jesus Christ went to the cross, there was a work that the Father had for Him to do upon that cross that no one else could do for us. It was a work that only one who was God in human flesh could accomplish on our behalf. It was the work by which Jesus Christ would offer Himself upon the cross as the atonement for our sins, to be the one and only sacrifice for our sins. As Jesus was upon that cross, as His hands were nailed to that tree, as He hung suspended upon that cross, He nevertheless was working. He was accomplishing the work of the Father upon that cross as He was laying down His life a ransom for many, as He was giving Himself on our behalf, as He was shedding His blood and making the only atonement for our sins. The only means by which we may have salvation from the Lord is to look to Christ who has died for sinners upon the cross. It is to confess our own sin. It is to renounce any other way of salvation. It is to turn to God in Christ alone and to call upon His mercy and His grace and to look to Him by faith and to trust Him alone, apart from any good works. If you have never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I call you tonight to believe upon Him, to cease from your working. Your working will only damn your soul. The more you work and try to commend yourself to God, you are like a man in quicksand. The more you work, the faster you are perishing. It is not until you come to the end of yourself and cease from your labor and commit your life to Christ, may you be saved. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Those who come to saving faith in Jesus Christ are those who cease their labor and cease all working and trust exclusively in the finished work of Christ upon the cross. And when one truly believes upon Christ, you will then want to work for Him all the days of your life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all who have been saved will be busy about their Father's business. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the good works that You have prepared for us to do. We confess tonight our sin of being at times less than motivated as we should be by Your grace to fulfill the good works that You have for us. And sometimes we procrastinate and we postpone and we put off, and it is left to others to do that which You have assigned to us to do. I pray that we would be, each one of us individually, busy laboring and serving You. But Father, give us clear understanding that is not by our works of righteousness that we are commended to you. It is through our faith in what Christ has done upon the cross for us. So, Father, give us clarity of understanding. And for those among us here tonight who have not yet come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, may you cause the scales to fall off their eyes, and may they step out of the darkness, and may they see the light of the glory of your gospel in Christ. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.